Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and shalom to all. Let's begin in prayer.
Abba, Father, our almighty El Shaddai, we praise you and exalt your holy name and all your names as our souls are stirred up, looking forward to our mansion on your streets of gold with no more sickness or tears. We continue to lift up to you our lost loved ones and any listener needing a healing as you are our Yahweh Rapha. Give wisdom to our president. Give mercy to the many flood victims. Bless all your true believers and may tonight's program bring a smile to your face. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Passover is this Saturday.
Yes, it is, beginning at sundown to sundown on Sunday, which then begins the 7 days of unleavened bread and the Feast of First Fruits, which must be always on a Sunday, according to Leviticus 23:11, falls on April 20th, which is the same day this year that the pagans celebrate Easter.
Hopefully you'll be eating lamb and not ham.
Amen to that. And if you want more information on the spring feast, please see our webpage, shofarministries.net, where we did a 4-week series beginning 3/26/24 on our radio archives.
Okay, lots going on. Let's begin with an update on Israel.
Well, first of all, last Thursday, Prime Minister Netanyahu visited Hungary right after their Prime Minister Orban declared that he would be ignoring the arrest warrant issued in November for Netanyahu by the International Criminal Court. And Bibi was greeted like a rock star.
Yeah, Hungary loves Israel.
They do. As well, Hungary is known for not allowing any unvetted immigration, utilizing its border fence topped with razor wire.
You know, and they have very little crime there.
Correct.
Then Bibi met with Trump yesterday.
And talked about Hamas, Iran, and tariffs, which Israel is going to zero on. And not sure yet what Trump will do, although he did comment on the fact that we already give Israel quite a bit.
So, we'll see where that goes.
Otherwise, they didn't give much detailed information yet, except that on Saturday, talks with high Iranian officials in Oman will happen, which is really indirect and not direct, as Trump had mentioned.
But a breakthrough nevertheless.
By the way, it is believed that if Israel hits Iran, it would stop the proxies. But Iran is now smuggling weapons by the sea, since it cannot get through Syria. And Iran was more deeply discussed yesterday in Washington than led on to us.
And rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. But Trump did give me some information I had been wondering about. He said he told Erdogan from Turkey that he knew Turkey was behind the new Sunni group HTS for Assad's removal from Syria and the HTS's takeover.
Yeah, Turkey is trying to expand its dominance.
And in spite of Israel's increased aggressions into Gaza, Hamas was still able to shoot off 10 rockets into southern Israel on Sunday, hitting some infrastructures. 5 were intercepted, and some claiming light wounds from shrapnel. Then Israel hit back with, of course, a drone strike. Also, Turkey has been aiding Hamas, and South Africa is as well, with providing a safe haven for Hamas. The BBC is reporting that since Israel is once again hitting Gaza, many Palestinians are saying they can't stand it anymore.
Areas without electricity.
And Hamas won't part with all the aid they still have stored, and I'm hearing they're going to be getting more this week. Many say their lives, the Palestinian lives, are threatened every day by Hamas. Therefore, they want to leave Gaza, and actually many have and are being helped by Israel to do so. and I've heard that's like thousands every week.
However, most international communities are resisting taking them.
They still are, but not all of them, as in Somalia. And Trump is still working on others to take in maybe smaller groups, so easier to handle for any country.
Then there are the Houthis.
Oh, yes. The Yemen-based terror group's actions indicate they are not deterred by the resumption of the United States airstrikes, actually daily, over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, you have some history of the Houthis.
Yes. They took over Yemen's government in 2014 and quickly began attacking Saudi Arabia, who reciprocated with an air campaign with the help of the UAE. But not enough. And during the Houthis' 10 years, they have been very successful at building deep underground infrastructure, which, of course, make them a more challenging target.
Are we using our bunker busters?
Oh, that would be yes.
Okay.
And now there seems to be some limited improvement in the Red Sea shipping. And lastly, Russia still resisting a ceasefire unless certain conditions are met. But back on the table this week is a mineral deal with Ukraine between top negotiators, but not Zelensky yet. And we won't even talk about the jigsaw stock market that, as of noon, was going back up, probably because the millionaires, they wait for a bear market to buy, which makes it go up, and then they can sell it later and make a huge profit.
And that's about all we know about that.
For sure.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are always appreciated, and we will be sure to include you in our monthly newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. Okay, we finished the first 10 chapters of Daniel.
We have, where the first 6 chapters are narrative and the last 6 are prophecies, with the adding of more data into the first 6 chapters. As in chapter 7, we saw added to chapter 2, Daniel's vision of the 4 beasts, along with a peek of God's throne room. Chapter 8 dealt with the dominance of Alexander the Great. Daniel 9 was the most amazing 70 weeks prophecy. And then chapter 10, well, that's sort of like an introduction to chapters 11 and 12. With verse 1 of chapter 11, actually more of a closing to chapter 10, in that Gabriel had helped Darius as well in the beginning of the Persian reign.
So, Daniel 10 serves as a preamble to the rest of the book.
I think so, and really making us aware of just who our enemy really is, and that there is a war going on in celestial places.
Confirming Ephesians 6.
Which we should already know if one reads the Old Testament first, particularly Daniel. So, chapter 11 is about a coming future kingdom starting from Daniel onward. And it's quite a chapter and so precise about history that skeptics and the critics say it could only have been written after the events had transpired.
Yeah, they try to justify their unbelief.
Exactly. But in a way, I rather enjoy that, for at least they are admitting it's accurate.
Good point. Okay, anyhow, the skeptics do have a big problem.
Well, they do, for it could not have been written later because it was copied exactly into the Septuagint translation in 270 BC, where much of chapter 11's history is subsequent to that period. Okay, verse 2 through 20 of chapter 11 chronicles about 150 years of warfare between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids, which was future for Daniel, but now past for us. But verses 36 through 45 are the clearly future for us. And in the middle verses, verses 21 through 35, well, they have elements of both.
Sort of like a bridge to the end of things.
Yeah. So again, verse 1 follows the last verse of chapter 10, where the angel Gabriel says he helped confirm and strengthen Darius the Mede at the onset of his reign with Cyrus. For we know that Darius the Mede was less strong than Cyrus.
Hence the smaller horn back in chapter 8.
Yes. Then in verse 2, we see the same angel Gabriel from chapter 10 prophesies three more significant kings to arise in Persia before a more powerful one. Now the three were Cambyses, Smerdis, and Hystaspes, son of Darius the First, which takes us to 486 BC.
And then the fourth king would instigate trouble with the Greeks.
Yes, that would be Xerxes the First from 486 to 465 BC. He was also called Ahasuerus of Ezra 4 and Esther chapter 1.
Yeah, he was an interesting guy.
Yes, he dismissed his first queen and married Esther.
Praise God for that.
And he found all kinds of ways to raise revenue. He instituted tax reforms, became very powerful, and trained over 2 million warriors.
You know, which is tough to do even today.
Yeah. But he was really famous for attacking Greece in 480 BC as he built special barges so to cross the Strait of Hellespont, and that's what separated Asia from Europe, and he did that in just 7 days.
Which laid the basis for the vendetta that Alexander exploited later.
Yeah, and by the way, prideful Alexander had to do better, so he built 19 bridges. Anyway, by the way, verse 3, although it begins with the word then, can also mean and. In fact, the original Masoretic text translates it as and, a mighty king shall arise, not then, because there were other kings after Xerxes, as we learn from Nehemiah before Alexander, as in Artaxerxes, Longimanus, and that would be 465 to 424.
Who we talked about in chapter 9.
Well, we did, because he gave the final decree to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the trigger that began Daniel's 70th week prophecy.
That's important to know those who follow history to the T.
So we know there to be several more kings, but mostly ineffectual. Till the 330s BC, with the rise of the Greeks.
Under Alexander the Great.
Who we also mentioned as a prominent player in chapters 2 and 7.
And more detailed in chapter 8.
Detailed, in fact, that when Alexander was presented with Daniel's scrolls by the high priest Jaddua, he spared the city of Jerusalem. And, by the way, the word for king and kingdom is the same Greek Hebrew word, melech. Therefore, its use is determined by the context. In other words, when it says king of the south, it could also mean the kingdom of the south. And there are approximately 8 successors in chapter 11 on both sides, north and south. And we're not going to read all the past historical verses, but verse 4 is phenomenal and so exact about Alexander the Great. I think we should read that.
And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted, even for others besides these.
As we talked about before in previous chapters, Alexander died rather suddenly in 323 BC without a qualified heir.
Yeah, his half-brother Philip was mentally defective.
Yes, and his two sons were murdered. But after Alexander's death, his four generals did divide the empire into four sections, as prophesied earlier and as we detailed in chapter 7. And one of those generals was Ptolemy I, also called Soter, who was very powerful and took over Egypt.
Yeah, verses 5 through 20 tells of the struggles back and forth between north and south.
Yes, and since these verses might not hold your focus, you should read that yourselves, as it is way past history, describing the Ptolemies, the Philips, and the three Antiochuses, which is where we will begin, because he was the father of Antiochus IV.
Yeah, a type of future Antichrist.
So we'll pick it up where Antiochus III battled, but lost with Ptolemy, now the fourth, who had just won over the glorious land, which of course is Israel, specifically the area of Judea. So in 212 BC, Ptolemy IV and Antiochus III signed a peace deal. But here's an interesting and rather jovial note. Ptolemy IV celebrated his victory by a tour of the eastern Mediterranean provinces, including Jerusalem.
But he also wanted to tour the Holy of Holies.
Yes. You know the section of the temple where only the high priest was allowed to go once a year on Yom Kippur? However, Ptolemy IV was prevented from entering the Holy of Holies by a sudden paralysis.
So he immediately returned to Egypt.
Well, he did, but sadly took out his chagrin and humiliation by persecuting the Jews living in Egypt.
After 12 years, Ptolemy IV died.
And then his young son, who's only 4 years old, well, he was made ruler, of course, overseen by a master, but Antiochus III, also called the Great, took advantage, seized Egypt, and therefore acquired Israel. Now, some Egyptian mercenaries attempted to seize the glorious land of Judea back, but without success. So in 197 BC, Antiochus III set out with a fleet of ships to attack Cilicia, Lycia, and Caria, which were rich cities on the Mediterranean, which were still under Egyptian control. However, he encountered a disastrous defeat by an upstarting power rising on the banks of the Tiber.
That would be Rome.
But this strategic Antiochus III also had a daughter.
Named Cleopatra.
And by the way, there were seven Cleopatras. This was the first. The one we are familiar with who married Caesar was the seventh. Anyhow, Cleopatra I was given in a political marriage to the young would-be heir, now just 10 years old, Ptolemy V, which was prearranged in 197 BC, but not consummated till 193 BC.
So at age 14.
Right. Along with Syria, Phoenicia, and Judea as dowry.
With the hope he could eventually annex Egypt with the help of his daughter.
But he was disappointed, as Cleopatra became a devoted wife instead and sided with Egypt and her new ally, Rome, who was just beginning their naval power. And he kept trying to control all the Mediterranean coast, the Antiochus III.
But by 191 BC, Rome had become very powerful.
They did, and took away much area from Antiochus III. And by 187 BC, one of his sons, Seleucid IV, took over the Seleucid dynasty, which included the areas of today's Israel, Iraq, Iran, Syria, and Turkey. He oppressed Israel with high taxes because he was required to pay much tribute to Rome, and finally gave his own son Demetrius to Rome as hostage for money due, and also in exchange for his brother, who had been given by his father, Antiochus III, as hostage to the Romans earlier.
And he was held for 14 years.
But treated very well. And who was this brother in captivity in Rome?
Antiochus IV. And verse 21 calls him a vile person.
So a lot of exact and fulfilled history is prophesied in Daniel 11.
And we are not done yet.
We are not. Because Seleucus is murdered by his own treasurer, Heliodorus, thinking he would be next in line. But Antiochus IV outsmarted Heliodorus while he was away by using various intrigues, and his charismatic personality gained the throne.
Yeah, the people loved him.
Well, they did. And as you know, Antiochus IV, who came from Rome, is a type of the Antichrist. And as far as verse 22 goes, some scholars think that the Prince of the Covenant here in verse 22 actually refers to the murder of the high priest Ananias from the second book of the Maccabees, chapter 4. Anyhow, Antiochus IV comes in peacefully and makes a covenant, but soon breaks the covenant and acts deceitfully. And verse 25 says he goes after Egypt with various skirmishes till they finally sit down to eat some delicacies, but both make false promises, and Antiochus IV returns to his land having great riches.
And then turned his attention to begin despoiling the temple in Jerusalem.
And by verse 29, we see how he goes against Egypt again, but was less successful, failing to take Alexandria.
Furthermore, he encountered the Roman army.
Yes. So once again, turned to oppressing the Jews. Then in verse 31, we have the famed abomination of desolation. And by the way, remember, 2 centuries later, Jesus would himself predict this would happen again in our future.
So it requires the temple.
It surely does. And all the preparations are ready to go ahead with it. Then, from verses 32 through 35, it's actually describing the Maccabean revolt. Although many battles, they conquer and conduct the ultimate rededication of the temple, celebrated to this day.
Yeah, at Hanukkah. It was the period of the Hasmoneans. I didn't get that good, did I?
All right, then. So between verses 1 through 35, over 130 prophetic statements have been counted.
That's very inspiring.
And a very impressive introduction to the next section, which follows, after a time gap, to the last 7 years of man's future history, which we will look at next time, along with some other passages about this coming son of perdition, we also call the Antichrist. That will be our big topic for next time. So if you want to tell anyone to listen to our program, it would be one of the good ones. But let me ask you, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says you can escape what's coming with just a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the god of this world, because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is, because there's no in-between. It's either or. And those of you Christians who are lukewarm, you better get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You're going to need it for discernment. I'll leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.